Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." The term favor or favored is used three times in this particular section. At the end of what we had last week, verse 25, then in verse 28, and again in verse 30. Do you have favorites? Favorite dish? Dessert? Favorite day? Favorite vacation? Favorite college? Do you favor people? Do you have a favorite child? Well, that'll get you into trouble, won't it? Verse 28, and coming in to her, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." I've written out on the marquee, "Would you find favor with God? Walk in righteousness." It's been 6 months since Gabriel made his first visit to Zacharias in the temple, standing to the right side of the altar. And you remember the message that he gave to Zacharias, that though his wife Elizabeth was barren, she would bring forth a son that would be the forerunner of the Christ to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. We're 6 months removed from that now as we begin verse 26, which is why it says, "Now in the sixth month." And now the angel Gabriel is sent to another Jewish person, this time quite different from the priest. This is a poor Jewish woman, a virgin. From priest to virgin. From the tribe of Levi to the tribe of Judah. We know that because it's revealed that Jesus would be born of the lineage of David. He would be a son of David, which is the tribe of Judah. We know that Joseph is also from the tribe of Judah from Matthew's account in Matthew 1 and verse 20. So from a priest to a virgin, from a Levite to one of the tribe of Judah, from the temple of the Lord to Nazareth. And this is quite remarkable that Mary and Joseph are making their home in Nazareth, because Nazareth is far from Jerusalem in the land of Israel, and it is in this area of Galilee. I have this from Matthew Henry's commentary. She lived in Nazareth, a city of Galilee, a remote corner of the country, and in no reputation for religion or learning, but which bordered upon the heathen, and therefore was called Galilee of the Gentiles. Christ, having his relations reside there, intimates favor in reserve for the Gentile world. Nazareth. We're going to see Nazareth again, aren't we? As Jesus begins his ministry and returns there to let his hometown folk know that he is the Messiah. They don't receive that message well, do they? But just look at how God is working from the center of religion and spirituality in Jerusalem, sending Gabriel there first to Zacharias, now to a virgin in the city of Nazareth amidst the Gentiles, and we can see the promises of God beginning to work, can't we? Because when Mary hurries to see Elizabeth, her relative, and by the way, even though we have intimated here in the scriptures that Zacharias is from the tribe of Levi and Matthew is from the tribe of Judah, we have Mary also from the tribe of Judah being related to Elizabeth. She's not technically a cousin. They're more distant than that. But how is that possible? The likelihood is that Elizabeth's mother from Judah married a Levite, and therefore Elizabeth herself is from the tribe of Levi, but has still those relations, those distant relations. And that was common in the land of Israel at that time. You think of the leaders of the people being either prophet, priests, or kings. And prophets didn't come necessarily from a specific tribe, but priests always came from Levi, and kings always came from Judah, or at least that was the plan. And so they often intermarried, the associates of Judah to the tribe of Levi. Because when Mary gets to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says what she does about the spirit of her Lord being resident or residing in Mary, we know that the Immaculate Conception occurs at this specific time, or at least shortly after Gabriel leaves. O favored one. This caused Mary a little consternation. Verse 28, and coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. I'll remind you of the marquee, would you find favor with God? Walk in righteousness. What is it that Mary has done that has caused her to find favor with God? She has walked in the way of the Lord. She is a virgin. She has kept herself pure. She is an Israelite who has honored God. Therefore, she has found favor with him. It's rather a simple recipe, isn't it? Walk in righteousness, and God will look upon you with favor. Look again at these verses, verse 25, 28, and 30, for the word favor. This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace from men. That's Elizabeth when she finds out that she is to have a child. The Lord looked upon her with favor. Verse 28, and coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Then verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive. The Lord is with thee. Turn with me to hymn number 276. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. 276.
Know me so. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
There's a name for the Lord is with us. It's Emmanuel. And perhaps as Gabriel says to her, the Lord is with you, her mind might have gone back to a particular prophecy of Isaiah's. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call His name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. She has the presence of God with her, Matthew Henry comments. The Lord is with thee, though poor and mean, and perhaps now forecasting how to get a livelihood and maintain a family in the married state. Nothing is to be despaired of because the Lord is with thee. Not the performance of any service, not the obtaining of any favor, though ever so great. If we have God with us, this word might put her mind toward the name Emmanuel, God with us, which a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, Isaiah 7 and 14. And why not that virgin be Mary? Most highly favored. Before God, she is dignified. Thou art highly favored. God in His choice of thee to be the mother of the Messiah has put an honor upon thee peculiar to thyself above that of Eve, who was the mother of all living. Gabriel is making another heavenly announcement, isn't he? Revelation, starting with verse 31 of Luke 1. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. Jesus meaning Jehovah is salvation. The Old Testament word for Jesus or name for Jesus is Joshua. And you shall call him Jesus. Verse 32, He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom will have no end. Now, that's pretty impressive to hear these words of Gabriel to Mary, that you're going to have a son who will be called the Son of the Most High and will reign as prophesied, one of David's descendants would ascend to the throne. But not just any ordinary kingdom, no. In fact, not even an earthly kingdom, for He will reign on the throne forever. Of His kingdom there shall be no end. Now, we might get caught up in that, but Mary doesn't. not immediately. We might begin to ponder, especially if our mentality has been one like the Jews of that day had, that the king was going to deliver them from their earthly enemies and would sit upon the throne and there would be a glorious rejuvenation of the earthly kingdom of Israel. We might just go on and on at that, but listen to what Mary's pondering. As he has said all of this, Mary said to the angel, verse 34, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" What is she focused upon? The first thing she heard was, "You're going to have a son." And what does Mary know? Well, she knows the birds and the bees. She knows that she's never been with a man. Though she is engaged to Joseph, she has kept herself pure and will continue to do so throughout this pregnancy. She remains a virgin up until the birth of Jesus. And so her immediate question to Gabriel is, it's not possible. Explain to me how this is going to happen since I am still a virgin. Now, we can't be too hard on Mary, can we? She's practical. She's assessing things. And it's not that she has any questioning about being God's servant. She just simply wants Gabriel, maybe being an angel in heaven, he doesn't know about these things. She wants Gabriel to know she's never been with a man. But what Gabriel has just revealed to her is that she will conceive not through normal relations. So he explains it a little more clearly. And to Mary's satisfaction, evidently, this is in response to how can I have a baby when I've never lain with a man of this earth? I'm still a virgin. The angel answered her, verse 35, and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Mary, you are exactly right, and you will not conceive in the normal sense. No, God will plant this seed within you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Most High, and he shall be called Son of God, this Holy Child. We have the miracle then of Gabriel visiting Zacharias, of Elizabeth, a barren woman, conceiving. Now the miracle of Gabriel visiting Mary, with the clear indication that this would be good for the whole world since she is a resident of Nazareth, Galilee of the Gentiles, and that the conception that she receives will be directly from God. A virgin shall conceive. Remember, that's the prophecy, Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." The Lord is with it. A virgin shall conceive. Now, that should have caused consternation throughout the generation since its writing. Isaiah is 700 and plus years before the time of Christ. Has no one wrestled with that before? A virgin shall conceive? Have they simply interpreted that in a broad way to mean a young maiden rather than specifically a virgin? We know it's literal, don't we? At least we know now. And that explanation holds up for Mary. And Mary said, verse 38, "Behold the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." The angel told her something else, though, didn't he? He told her about Elizabeth, her, quote, cousin. Verse 36, "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Babies born to the barren and virgin. Impossible deliveries on God's promises. God's putting a stake in the ground, isn't he? He is saying, this is the moment for which you have waited. And we know what Elizabeth's son is going to become, the forerunner, John the Baptist. And we know what Mary's son is going to... How much age difference is there between John the Baptist and Jesus? 6 months. And as Mary then hurriedly, it says in verse 39, now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Spirit-filled, even from the womb mates. What do we know about Mary then? Though she hurriedly goes to Elizabeth, she's already pregnant with Jesus because the Spirit recognizes her presence there as carrying the baby that will be the Savior of the world. Elizabeth goes on, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Remarkable women. Faithful women. Would you find favor with God? Walk in righteousness. The Holy Spirit has been at work, hasn't He? The angel had said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the child shall be called the Son of God. Certainly, Elizabeth and Mary know that nothing is impossible with God. Mary's attitude is, so be it. Another way to say that is, amen. May it be as you have said. I am but your bond slave, or other translations like the King James and the American Standard says in verse 48, I am but your handmaiden. There follows then a song that I did not take time to read at the first in reading our text of Mary's, where she praises God and understands to a great degree what her place is in this. Starting with verse 46, the Song of Mary. And Mary said, my soul exalts in the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has had regard for the humble state of His bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. Mary's getting it, isn't she? What was it that Gabriel had said that she kind of glossed over? And His kingdom will be on the throne of David, and it will last forever. So that Mary knows that this child that's born from her womb will look with favor on her throughout generations to come. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, His servant, in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned home. He has given help to Israel, His servant, just as He promised. What was it that God had promised to Abraham and to his descendants? In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, as God called Abraham, and I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So we've gone back even further. David's about 1,000 years before the time of Christ. Abraham, nearly 2,000 years before the time of Christ. Mary, in her song, certainly Spirit-filled, says this is an answer, not simply to the children of Israel, but prior to them even coming into this world, to their forefather Abraham. And through you, all families, notice that Gentile connotation there, not just the Jews, And through you, all families of the earth will be blessed. Paul writes it this way in Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one. And to your seed, that is Christ. What I am saying is this. The law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Yes, all families. In the giving of the law to Moses, some 1,500 years or so before the time of Christ, the Jewish nation was brought about. But the promise to Abraham transcends even that, so that today we don't find salvation through the law. No, we find it through the descendant of a virgin, as promised from God, who ascended to a throne upon which he sits even now, reigning over all the earth and providing goodness and mercy to those who would seek him. With whom does God find favor? With his children, with those who walk in righteousness.